Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
The cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com. The number one destination for all things college football. Week 9 is in the books. We are about to turn the calendar to November. That's right. Tomorrow is Halloween. Tomorrow is also the first rendition of the 2023 college football playoff rankings. We got a lot to break down from what happened this past weekend across college football. We'll dive right into that. But first things first, Jake Fromm, how are you, brother?
What's going on, Drew? Doing good. Had a tough loss this weekend to the Eagles. But all things considered, the Dogs did win on Saturday. So that's picking me up in a very dominating fashion. Other than that, man, excited to be here.
Yeah, no doubt. Dogs whoop up on the Florida Gators 43-20. And I do need to brag on myself for a moment. I was on a couple of interviews and separate podcasts before the game, and my score prediction was 42-20. So I was just one point off. Dogs took care of business in a big way. We're going to talk a lot about that. Obviously, how the offense performed without Brock Bowers. A huge game coming up in Athens this upcoming weekend, welcoming the 14th-ranked Missouri Tigers between the hedges. And a lot of other news to break down across the world of college football. But this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Two awesome locations, one in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place. Salomon Brothers has the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast, and the store is for anyone with any budget. If you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. I had several people slide into my DMs this week, Jake, saying, hey, what do I need to say when I walk into Salomon Brothers? It is that time of year. November is here. The holiday season is right around the corner. And I'm telling you, guys, if you're getting something for your significant other, head on over to Salomon Brothers, mention Punt and Pass. And girls, if you listen to Punt and Pass and you want to gift your significant other a watch or a nice piece, head on over to Salomon Brothers. It is simply the best. At Salomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, SalomonBrothers.com. The biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. Get on over to Salomon Brothers. All right, let's start with what happened down in Jacksonville. Georgia takes care of business in a big way, Jake. 43-20, the final score. Lab McConkey goes off, 6 catches, over 100 yards receiving, and a touchdown. Wow. I thought they looked awesome. They looked focused. They actually looked well-rested coming out of the bye week as well. You know what, Jake? You might have flinched a little bit when Florida scored first, but then Georgia rips off 36 unanswered points, and Kirby continues his dominance over the Florida Gators.
Yeah, I'm going to rip from my buddy here for a second, because I think he encompasses a lot of Georgia fans, right? So Florida goes down. And
who's
just
your buddy? What's his name? Let's air him out.
My roommate, Tony Losey, in college. So Tony played, he pitched for the Georgia Bulldogs, played baseball. But he lived with us there at 422 University Drive.
All right.
And Tony, man, he's hitting me up at the beginning of the game. Man, this isn't looking good. Defense can't stop nobody. You know, because Florida, man, just has an effortless drive all the way down the field, score 7 points. Georgia now matches, you know, a good drive. But then it's something we've seen a little bit this year of not being able to get 7 points. They have to settle with a field goal in the red zone. And it's like, oh, man, this is – here we go again. This isn't looking good. And then absolutely dominates the rest of the football game. Like 36 unanswered points, I think, or something like that.
Yep.
And dominate the line of scrimmage, make plays left and right. Carson goes off, plays extremely well. 315 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, what else do you want them to do?
I know.
In a rivalry game like that one? Like, they dominated that game from start to finish.
They really did. And Dejan Edwards, 15 carries, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. You mentioned it. Georgia looked extremely solid on the lines of scrimmage. The pass rush really was something that I think a lot of fans enjoyed seeing. Dejan, I thought, looked healthy. That was a guy who took advantage of the bye week, got off his legs. You just saw the kind of explosiveness, but also the speed that he was able to show. It's so great that Georgia came out as balanced as they were. I would not have been surprised, Jake, and I said it on last week's podcast, if they said, we're going to dare you to beat us in the line of scrimmage, and we're going to run the ball. I also would not have been surprised if they came out and went 5 wide and kind of just didn't really look towards the run, saying, hey, we've got a lot of toys out here without Brock Bowers. Let's spread the love and see if Carson can dish it as we think he can. I think we learned a lot of things. One, Carson can fully handle the load that Coach Bobo and this offensive staff is going to give him. I believe 8 different wide receivers got receptions. He looked comfortable. His touch on his passes looked really noticeable as well. But then leaning on the run game when you need to, keeping the defense guessing, what more could you ask for? I mean, it was a simple show of dominance by the University of Georgia. Again, ranked number one, I believe, for the 20th consecutive week now. The college football playoff rankings come out tomorrow night. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia isn't ranked number one, because the committee loves to drive conversation and get people talking. But based on what they did to Florida, who was on the up and up, ranked 26th, air quotes, if you want to give them that, they were the first team out of the AP top 25 poll a week ago, a show of force. And Georgia took advantage of the mistakes Florida made. That fourth down call, I don't know what they were thinking in a game like that. Neutral site, punt the ball, put your defense out there. As a quarterback, when you get that play call, are you like, okay, I guess? I was so confused by why they would do that at that point in the game.
Yeah, it's so, you know, when you go gimmicky on a very high pressure down, a fourth down in a high pressure situation, you're looking for a certain look. Like you know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to be in. Somebody on the team's going to have bad eye discipline. So, you know, you're able to exploit something scheme wise or player wise. We're going after a certain look. And then sometimes you just don't get the look you wanted, or you get caught with your pants down, so to speak, and it just does not look good on paper, you know, like either punt or just, hey, let's go play some bully football. But man, it sucks when the gimmick doesn't work, because then everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to question it. But it's just kind of a feel thing through the week and how confident you feel and you're going to get that certain look that they've been showing up to this week.
Absolutely. So the fourth down call, which I guess you probably would have expected them to call timeout if they didn't get the look they wanted. But as it was ran, Mertz running up underneath the center then shotgun snapping it through his legs to ETN. I think it was ETN. It might have been the other running back who then was tackled by Smile Munden, I think, or Jamon Josh Johnson. That's all kind of Munden. Smile Munden. But then Georgia blocked a punt as well, and the route was on. A great blocked punt. Really good heads up play also by Georgia's punt block unit. They noticed, I think, that Florida's up back only had 2 guys there protecting the punter instead of the usual 3. They brought the pressure. They blocked the punt. It could have been a touchdown. The ball landed just inches out of the back line, so it was 2 points. Then Georgia got the ball back right after that. But a comedy of errors for Florida.
Yep.
Georgia absolutely exploited every single mistake that Florida made. And Billy Napier, you know, you just see the depth that Georgia has, the talent that they have, the coaching that they have. In a moment like that, coming out of the bye week, you know, my one question would be, why is Georgia's defense opening up games in soft zone? Because it seems like guys, maybe communication is off a little bit, and Florida was off to the races there with a very simple first drive that got them on the board first. It seems like that's what Georgia's been coming out doing. I would not expect that against Missouri this weekend, because you know Missouri's going to throw the ball around. Man these guys up, Jake. Get on them at the line of scrimmage and then go run with them. I don't know why they're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they like to play a version of that. So like they're in their quarter stuff that Kirby likes to do. I mean, it's basically playing man without playing man. Everybody's tight. They're grilling you in your face. But there's a lot of communication and bracket type principles that play along in that scheme. And so I guess where they're losing at is in the communication process of, hey, who's where do I have help? And they're kind of getting exploited with some of these looks early in the game that are they're scheming them up. And that first script of plays has been looking really good for these past couple weeks against these past couple teams.
Yeah. I tell me if I'm wrong, but you sound exactly correct in what you're seeing with that quarters type defense, whether it's the pass off of, hey, this guy's no longer mine, now you have to step up, or whether it's just great execution by the offense. Hey, expect the ball here. There might be some confusion on who has who. You make one move and you're off to the races. It just seems like that's what's been happening. And yes, for as slow of starts that Georgia has had throughout the first eight games of the season, the offense came out and kind of quiet those doubters immediately. Now you look at some of the points that Georgia had in the red zone, opening up with, I think, a 22-yard field goal by Peyton Woodring. That could have easily been another 6 points. Then another one of his field goals was 32 yards as well. You know, you would just like this game. What I'm saying is this game could have gotten way out of hand. Oh, and yeah. I'm sure, you know, Georgia and Coach Bobo and that offensive staff, they're not all sunshine and rainbows Monday at the facility today. They're getting on these guys saying, against the better teams, we've got to punch it in the red zone. And they're going to have a big test coming up this weekend against Missouri.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like they won in every other facet of the game. And we're going to, you know, want to be better and look at where we can improve on. And that's something that's kind of crippled them throughout the season. And that red zone efficiency of scoring touchdowns. This comes up big in big time football games. And situational football where you just have to find a way to get seven. Like yeah. that's going to propel them and put them
championship
over the top. That is 100% championship style caliber football that they're going to have to figure out and get done. But one thing to note about this game is something that was always said by Kirby during this week is whoever wins the line of scrimmage in this game wins the football game. They won the line of scrimmage. They won, had 171 rushing yards to 109 of Florida. Like, we're able to run the football. We talked about that. And two, they protected Carson too and gave him an ample amount of time. So, man, when you're able to control the line of scrimmage, help your quarterback be able to play and operate, you're going to have a good day. And they did.
They absolutely did. All around great performance by Georgia. How about Kirby Smart post game with a little chirp to his old buddy, Dan Mullen? So it was interesting because Kirby was asked about, I don't even know what the question was or how it was worded, but essentially, how did you feel or did you hear about some of the pundits in the media starting to move towards Florida possibly winning this game? And the loudest one was former Florida head coach Dan Mullen, now of ESPN. So Kirby said, yeah, I did hear, you know, and I was kind of surprised as to why so many people were thinking that Georgia wasn't going to be ready to play or that Georgia was in a spot to where they could potentially lose. And then he alluded to, you know, hey, I thought they were supposed to be my friends, hint, hint, Dan Mullen. And Kirby Smart follows it up with, quote, he didn't like to recruit, though. End quote. And you heard some audible gasps of people in the media in the post-game press conference. I mean, look, that's no surprise. I think Dan Mullen's probably the first person to tell you that as well. But Kirby, taking a shot across the bow there. I loved it. That's fun. And you know what? You can say whatever the hell you want after you drub Florida like that.
Yeah, no, I like it, especially after that game, that situation. But hey, man, let's hold some of these TV guys and analysts accountable a little bit. Especially those who've coached and been in those positions and guys you have a quite large winning record against.
No doubt about it. You know, you mentioned the red zone offense and how Georgia's going to want to button that up and how that's a true mark of championship football. I do want to talk about the defense as well. Georgia's defense is pretty much tops across the SEC in every statistical category, yet people still think, you know, they're not reaching their potential yet. I think we need some perspective, okay? Georgia's defense this year, for better or worse, is being compared to the Georgia defenses of the past two seasons, which historically are some of the greatest in all of college football. And I'll be the first to say, you know, maybe some perspective around the red zone offense as well, because just last year they were 81 of 83 in the red zone. Simply amazing. So we're comparing it to absolute greatness. Georgia is showing that they're getting better week after week. And I think probably most importantly, Jake, Georgia has shown that when the games are the biggest and the lights are the brightest and there is a lot on the line, they elevate their play. Look no further than Kentucky. Look no further than Florida. You're going to have another great opportunity coming up this weekend, hosting Missouri at home.
Yeah,
It's
time to play their best football. It's time to just tighten up all the screws in all the spots because their best football is going to be needed down this stretch and throughout the rest of the season.
Absolutely. We are recording this on a Monday afternoon. I'm trying to update my screen because the game time for the Georgia Ole Miss game should be coming out any minute. I would expect that to be a 3:30 game. Georgia is hosting Missouri this weekend in Athens at 3:30. And that brings us to our Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week for Week 10, the first weekend of November. Man, college football, slow down. Think about that, Jake. It's November. The regular season ends in November. Hold on tight. Slow down time. We got a doozy, though, coming up this weekend. Your Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week for Week 10 starts at 3:30, and you get to keep it on one channel because the SEC on CBS has a doubleheader coming up this weekend. Number 14, Missouri, is at number 1, Georgia at 3:30. That rolls directly into the night game, LSU at Alabama. So Nestler and Danielson will be bringing that action to everybody at 8 p.m., the SEC on CBS. Number 13, LSU, at number 8, Alabama, right after number 14, Missouri, takes on number 1, Georgia. So that is two consecutive top 15 SEC tilts right there. The SEC on CBS, that's your Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week for Week 10. Again, it's November. I can't believe that. We're fired up. It's time to separate the contenders from the pretenders. Last thing about Georgia, Florida. It was reported from the Associated Press that the 2026-2027 Georgia-Florida games could potentially be moved to a neutral site. Why? Well, the huge redevelopment of downtown Jacksonville and Everbank Stadium are set to take place those years. So where would the rivalry game be moved to? Some have petitioned for a home and home, meaning let Georgia host one in Athens, let Florida host one in Gainesville as they did in the late 90s. However, it seems like, Jake, these could be neutral site games, one being in Atlanta, the other being in Orlando, with the idea of the cities bidding to host the games. Therefore, the games would be subsidized. Therefore, the universities would be paid to have those games in said cities and stadiums. I can guarantee you that is where the athletic administrations are leaning so they can get that cheddar.
Yeah,
money makes it all happen.
It's about the money. Wherever they're going to make the most money is probably where it's going to be. I personally would love to see a home and home.
I think it'd be sick, dude.
Yes. I think it'd be cool, and I would just do my best to somehow be able to make that game because I just think it'd be awesome. Be a cool, experience that just like that group of guys would be able to have.
So good.
Then they get to talk about, and guys like me and you just get left on the fence, and we'll never be able to have that experience.
No, we will not. All right, let's go around college football a little bit, starting with what's going down in the Pac-12. Oregon dominated Utah. That was a top 15 matchup in the Pac-12. Utah had been absolute nails at home, but Oregon whoops up on 35-6. Are the Ducks for real? I think they most certainly are. Their only loss by 3 points to Washington, who's also undefeated. Washington struggled against Stanford. They beat them 35-33 on the road. It seems like the Pac-12 is starting to beat up on each other, as I kind of predicted would happen, Jake. I do think Oregon is really playing good football. Everything is clearly out in front of them. Washington goes to USC this weekend. Oregon State lost at Arizona this past weekend. I think Oregon's the only hope that the Pac-12 has. And quite frankly, they're a team that I feel like is built to withstand their tough schedule for the latter part of this season.
Yeah, it's either going to be Oregon or it's going to be Washington. Can Washington hold on throughout the rest of the year? They can slip up, have one loss. They're just going to have to win that Pac-12 championship at the end. I really like Oregon, though, man. I think they're a fully built team. I think they have a great offense. They got a defensive-minded head coach, Dan Lanning. They play aggressively. I like the way they played that Washington game with an aggressive mindset. And, hey, we're here to win. That was a tough one to lose there at the end. But I think they're built to withstand. And I think they're going to have a chance here late in the year.
No question about it. USC hosts Washington Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. USC beat Cal 50-49 this past weekend. Their defense is awful. I would definitely expect Michael Penix to get some. That Rome Odunze kid, that wide receiver, he is a baller at Washington. So that's going to be a really good game. But USC only has one conference loss right now. They've got one conference loss. So if they take care of Oregon next weekend, November 11th, who knows? Maybe they could keep Oregon out of the Pac-12 championship game. I don't know. A lot to still happen in the Pac-12. And then when you look at the Big 12, Oklahoma losing to Kansas this past weekend in Lawrence, it seems like the Big 12 might be in trouble for a college football playoff spot. Also, everybody had just assumed, me included, that Texas and Oklahoma would tee off in the Big 12 championship game, but not so fast, my friend.
But not so fast. I think a lot of people expected this to be a tough test for Oklahoma. I think to sit here and say that they were supposed to lose that game, I mean, I think that'd be false, man. That sucks, and they're going to have to fight it out for the rest of the year just to make sure they get into that Big 12 championship game.
Oklahoma hadn't lost to Kansas in Lawrence since 1997. They had won 18 straight games in this series. A lot of turnovers, kind of some funky weather. There was a delay in the first half due to lightning as well. So, look, it was a tough spot. I thought Oklahoma would bounce back after a bit of a scare against Central Florida, but they've shown to be vulnerable as well. So does Kansas State sneak into the Big 12 championship game? Obviously, Oklahoma still has a line on that one, but Kansas State heads to Texas coming up this weekend. Right now, atop the Big 12 standings, Oklahoma, Iowa State's 4-1, Oklahoma State's 4-1, Texas is 4-1, and Kansas State is 4-1. And all those teams pretty much have to start teeing it up against each other in the coming weeks. So, moral of my stories here, we have plenty of chaos ahead of us. November is going to be a very, very fun month of college football. All right, college football playoff rankings due out tomorrow night, Jake. What are your thoughts here? We talked about it last Thursday. There was a CBS Sports CFP rankings predictor that had Georgia ranked 6th. Would you be surprised if Georgia's not ranked number 1 in tomorrow night's first rendition of the college football playoffs
rankings? No, I wouldn't be surprised because I think they like it to be about them. As in they want them, they want to be the topic of conversation.
Of course.
They want it to be about them. So they want to do something just off schedule, something that doesn't make all the sense in the world, that's going to get the most buzz, to get people talking about it, get the clicks. And so they want to do something different than what's been listed the entire year as number one and two in Georgia and Michigan. So for them to flip that, I'm fully expecting it to happen, just because they want a little bit of chaos to pursue.
Would they put Michigan there with all the craziness that's going on around the Michigan program right now? You know, if you really want to drive some conversation and get people talking about the college football playoff committee and the rankings, put Michigan at number one, yep. Even despite what has been going on with our boy Connor Stallions over there. I heard he also had like a 600-page manifesto written about how he was going to take over Michigan football. This guy is a true savage. Too bad he got caught. I would have loved to have seen his grand scheme to upend Jim Harbaugh and become head coach of Michigan football. But I would say Georgia, Michigan will be 1-2. I'm not going to be surprised either way that goes. I would put Florida State at 3. I think Florida State has proven themselves way better than Ohio State. No question about it. And then I would put Washington maybe at 4. I would keep Ohio State on the outside. I know they've had a couple of pretty good wins here the past couple of weeks, but they just haven't proven it to me yet. So mine would be Georgia, Michigan 1-2, whichever way you want. Florida State 3, Washington 4, Ohio State 5. That is my college football playoff top 5 if I were on the committee.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I'm trying to go back and look at Ohio State's wins.
Notre Dame,
and they got Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, those are two top 15 wins. I just think that's
so they're probably going to be 3.
That's going to be tough, even though I like Florida State at 3.
Yeah.
I just committee wise, like if they don't put them at 3, then what's the criteria here? So we're looking at kind of the strength of the wins. Let's go look at Florida State here, and who have they beaten?
They beat Clemson, right? Obviously Clemson, dude, we need to talk about Clemson. They are in complete shambles right now, but let me continue on with your Florida State take.
Yeah. So how impressive does that look now? Not too impressive anymore. Clemson's not going to have a 10-win season for the first time in a decade. Duke, LSU, okay. Yeah, I mean, they got LSU.
LSU's a good one, for sure.
Yeah, okay. That's a good one.
Absolutely.
Honestly, Florida State might get canned, and Washington might be 4.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I can absolutely see that.
Even though I don't like it, but I could see it because of the criteria, so to speak. And it'll all play itself out
late
in the year. People have to play each other and, you know, all that good stuff. But just based on criteria that I've seen in the past, I could see Michigan 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, and Washington 4. Just based off like strength of wins.
Yes, indeed. It'll be interesting. No surprises, but if they, you know, I would not be surprised if they threw Washington in the top 4, which I think we're both saying they will, because Washington has a huge game coming up this weekend at USC, which is the nationally televised game on ABC. All right. I told you I was expecting it. Here it is. The SEC football schedule on November the 11th. There's some flex scheduling here. So Ole Miss at Georgia will either be on the SEC on CBS or ESPN at 7 p.m. or SEC Network at 7:30 p.m. I don't think it'll be on the SEC Network. Florida at LSU will either be on the SEC on CBS at 3:30 or ESPN at 7 or SEC Network at 7:30 p.m. Here is what I think. If I'm putting on my media hat, I did graduate with a degree in telecommunications from the Grady School of Journalism. Here's what will happen. Georgia Ole Miss will be at 3:30 on CBS. Florida at LSU will be on ESPN at 7 p.m. And then Tennessee at Missouri will be at 7:30 p.m. on the SEC Network. So expect that. Plan your weekend of November the 11th accordingly. All right, before we go, dude, we've got to talk about Clemson.
Talk to
Complete me. Shambles. four ACC losses already. What has happened? This is, it's sad. It's unfortunate. You know, are we watching the death of a program? Has the game just completely passed by them? I don't even know where to go. It's just crazy. It really is.
They it just looks like they missed on a couple of recruiting classes in a row. First off, let's talk. I mean, they had Deshaun and they had Trevor, right? Like those are two really good dudes playing quarterback for your team, and you can make stuff happen and you can accumulate wins with those two guys playing quarterback for you. They don't have a generational talent playing quarterback. They don't have the dudes at receiver anymore.
They've got a 2-4 ACC record is what they have.
Yeah.
They're hosting Notre Dame this weekend, which, you know, preseason, you're thinking, okay, that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out game. Clemson's going to be fighting for college football playoff spot.
Nope.
Crickets.
Nothing. Nobody cares.
Notre Dame coming in to Clemson. That game's at noon on ABC. I believe our buddy Sean McDonough will be on the call, Greg McElroy and Molly McGrath. Before I let you go, I do need to mention Georgia Tech. They beat 20th ranked UNC. UNC's now lost two straight. They lost to Virginia, then they lost to Georgia Tech. I believe that's the third straight season Georgia Tech football has beat UNC. And there is a statistic floating around on the interwebs that is actually quite fascinating. First off, Haynes King, shout out to him. Huge win. Brent Key, shout out to him. I mean, that's just a big, big win for the Georgia Tech football program, which has had some pretty ugly losses so far this season. You were up 14 against Bowling Green, and then you blow that one. And there's been a couple of other real head scratchers as well.
Georgia Tech has two big wins this year, North Carolina and the Miami debacle.
Yes. Here's the statistic. I just found it. Georgia Tech is having one of the strangest seasons I've ever seen. First off, the Yellow Jackets have only won in their even numbered games. Their wins have come in games 2, 4, 6, and 8. Game 10 is against Clemson. Game 12 is against Georgia. Second, they've played three ranked teams. All three of them have been ranked in the AP poll at number 17. They lost to number 17 Ole Miss. They beat number 17 Miami, and they beat number 17 North Carolina. They're 2-1 against the AP number 17 ranked teams. Those two wins over ranked teams are the most of any team in the state of Georgia. These are their last four games: an 11-point loss to Bowling Green, a victory over number 17 Miami, a 15-point loss to Boston College, and a victory over number 17 ranked North Carolina. Their win over Miami was absurd enough that the Canes had them beat, but they chose to run the ball instead of taking a knee. We all know about that one. I'm reading this tweet. Bear with me. They had 0 points in the first and third quarters. All 46 of their points came in the second and fourth quarters, going back to their last nine games. This is insane. I'm going to move on after this. Excuse me. Here's the weirdest part of Georgia Tech's season. Georgia Tech has scored 254 points. Georgia Tech has allowed 254 points. Georgia Tech has scored 33 touchdowns. Georgia Tech has allowed 33 touchdowns. It's crazy. This is a fascinating tweet. I'll retweet it. See me at Drew Butler on Twitter. I don't know. I mean, is that just there are no coincidences, or is that all just an extreme coincidence?
There are no coincidences. I'm on that train.
You go. All right. Well, that pretty much does it. I might have lost you there with some of that Georgia Tech stuff I just read there from my phone, but that's a mind bender. That is a mind bender. I would not expect Georgia to be really scared, even though they're playing Tech on an even numbered 12th game of the season. Anything on the way out, brother, man? What you got?
No, man. Just excited for Tuesday night. I can't wait to see this kind of college football playoff ranking so we can talk about it some more and just eat those dudes alive for believing in what they believe in.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. We will absolutely tear the committee apart on Thursday's episode of Punt and Pass. You can expect that from us. Halloween plans, party, what are you going to be dressed up as?
Absolutely. So we got something at the facility tonight. And then teammate Logan Thomas tonight is throwing a Halloween party.
Shout out Logan guys. Thomas. Had LT. A touchdown yesterday. Yeah,
that's right. Let's go. And the wife and I are going to be going off the movie Grease.
Nice.
Gonna be one of the T-Birds. She's going to be one of the pink ladies, I think.
That's correct.
Last minute Halloween store. So it always helps us out, pulls us through.
Awesome. The best. Yeah, dude. Halloween now with three daughters under the age of five is like a Super Bowl. So they wanted me to dress up as a scarecrow. I'll have a little scarecrow get up on tomorrow. We'll have some.
Nice.
Supposed to be pretty chilly down here in Georgia tomorrow. So
yeah,
should be good holiday weather for sure. Holiday seasons are upon us. Make sure you get on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers to take care of your significant other. Family owned and operated since 1982, the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. If you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. The lowest prices on the highest quality in jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. That's Solomon Brothers. Check them out at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter. SolomonBrothers.com. Check us out on social media at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake, PuntandPass.com. And we will talk to you on Thursday. Happy Halloween. See ya.
See ya. We out.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.